A solemn ceremony has been held on the tarmac of Perth Airport to honour the remains of 14 Indigenous Yawuru people. They were returned late last week from a museum in the German city of Dresden. These people, including a young girl, lived and died near Broome up to 150 years ago. How their remains came to be held in a German museum is unclear, but what we do know is that across Australia, the skulls and bones of Aboriginal people were stolen or traded by researchers in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Peter Yu is the CEO of the Nyamba Baru Yaru Corporation, and he joins me this morning from Broome. Peter Yu, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning. Thanks, Lisa.
Peter, it's been well over 100 years since many of these remains were stolen from your country. What was the moment like when these small packages were shepherded off the plane onto the tarmac in Perth?
Well, they were in a large box and it weighed about 80 kilos or so. They were all packed in it, and there are remains of men, women and young children. But the opening of the cargo hold, it was quite a dramatic moment, and there was a very powerful presence felt by those of us who were there. We were accompanied by the Noongar people, Dr. Richard Wally and Farley Garlick, the senior Noongar cultural leaders, welcoming back our ancestors onto their country and to ensure that they had safe passage on their way back home. It was quite a very emotional event, Lisa, because what we have here is evidence of slavery at its most brutal and its most murderous. If you understand the history and the story behind the nature of their of these human beings being exported into Europe and elsewhere around the world.
Peter, do you know who these people were? Do we know much about how they lived, how they died?
Well, fortunately, there has been some forensic examination by the German coroner in the state of Saxony, where the remains have come back from. The Museum of Dresden, as you've indicated, but also Leipzig and another. And while there is limited provenance, of course, a lot of the material was destroyed during the Second World War. In Dresden particularly, as we know, the most heavily bombed city in Germany. But notwithstanding that, the German anthropologists and ethnographers have done a tremendous job in putting together the pieces. So what we know basically is that all of the remains, our ancestors, suffered enormous trauma. Both there are evidence of trauma to the skull, the cranium. There is also signs of infection in the ear canal, otitis, I think it's called, which indicates diving in pressure. So what we have really, and also fairly harsh conditions of beatings.
So Peter, you were saying it showed that their eardrums had been damaged from diving. So were they being used by to basically go down and try and get the pearls for the Broome divers?
That's correct. This was in the 1880s, when people were forced to dive. They were kidnapped, beaten, and then forced to dive for pearl shell. This is I know that the early history of Broome has a kind of glamorous side to it, I suppose, if that's the right word to use. But when you understand the evidence that's presented by the remains, what we have, what we're confronted with, is the worst kind of human behaviour by the white pearlers and pastoralists who kidnapped our people, forced them to dive. There is one young person that is unidentifiable. We don't know, probably under the age of 12. There is also, as you indicated, a very young female, a couple of female women, young women, probably about 15 or 16 years of age, who were forced to dive for pearl shells.
So how did they end up in Germany? How did the remains end up in Germany?
There's largely, from what we can ascertain and gather from the evidence, probably two main collections from pearlers. One certainly is an old pearling family. Another, we not sure of, but they were sold, basically, and taken as trophies. The brutality of it all also shows that there is some DNA evidence of the bodies having been there's hair samples. There's some suggestion in the evidence that the bodies were skinned. After they just died, there's evidence that a number of them were taken from the same location, which could have been a mass grave. To some extent, there's the evidence, but on the other hand, we can only speculate about the horrors.
Peter, can I ask you, why was Germany so keen to have the remains returned?
Well, as we understand it in history, there was the study of eugenics happening at that time, and so those bodies were stolen and then, as I say, sold. There was a large black market, and this, of course, happened right around Australia, but in this particular case, there was the study of eugenics happening in Germany and in Europe generally, and I guess, we saw... one of the reasons we were asked to repatriate at a very short notice, of course, is because of the changing political situation in Germany at the moment. And we have a very sympathetic government who are very welcoming and hospitable and generous in facilitating with the Australian government the return of our ancestors. But on the other hand, they felt that if there was a change to the ultra-right in the forthcoming elections, middle of this year, that the incoming government may not be as sympathetic to the return.
Peter, I know that your job is far from done, but we really appreciate you joining us this morning on RN Breakfast. Peter, the CEO of the Nyambaa Baru Yaru Corporation.